really think I have a pretty neck?
It's a figure of speech, he growled.
He moved on, tugging Bonnie ahead. Pasha hastened her step to keep up. She walked in silence for a time, busying herself with pulling little knots and burrs from her hair. Richard was in no mood to be pleasant. Killing the Mrizwith had brought him a strange feeling of fulfillment, but it was fading now, and his frustration with his situation was returning. And it brought with it the anger. Pasha's face brightened. She put on a pleasant smile.
I don't know anything about you, Richard. Why don't you tell me about yourself?
What do you want to know?
Well, what did you do before you came to the palace? Did you have some kind of skill, a profession you worked at?
Richard scuffed his boots through the dirt. I was a woods guide.
Where?
Where I grew up, in Heartland, in Westland. Pasha pulled the white blouse away from her chest, trying to dry it.
I'm afraid I don't know where that is. I don't know about the new world. Someday, when I'm a sister, maybe I'll be called upon to go there and help a boy.
Richard didn't say anything, so she went on.
So you were a woods guide.
That must have been scary, being out in the woods all the time.
Weren't you afraid of the animals?
I'd be afraid of the animals. Why? If a rabbit jumped out of a bush, you could just burn it to ashes with your han. She giggled.
I'd still be frightened. I like the city better.
She pulled some hair back from her face and looked at him as they walked. She had a funny way of wrinkling her nose.
Did you have a girl, a love or anything?
Richard was taken by surprise at the question. His mouth opened, but no words came out. He snapped it closed. He was not about to discuss Kaelin with her. I have a wife. Pasha missed a step. She hurried to catch back up.
A wife?
She considered a moment. Her voice now had an edge to it.
What is her name?
Richard kept his eyes straight ahead as he walked. Her name is Duchailu. Pasha twisted a strand of hair around her finger.
Is she pretty? What does she look like?
Yes, she is pretty. She has thick black hair, a little longer than yours. She has attractive breasts, and the rest of her is shapely, too. From the corner of his eye, he could see Pasha's face glowing red. She picked at the end of the strand of hair. Her voice came quiet and cold, despite her trying to layer indifference over it.
How long have you known her?
A few days. Her hand fell away from her hair.
What do you mean, a few days? How could you only know her a few days?
When Sister Verna and I went to the Majendai land a few days ago, they had her chained up. They were going to sacrifice her to the spirits, and they wanted me to do the killing. Sister Verna said I was to do as the Majendai wished, so we could pass through their land. Instead, I disobeyed Sister Verna and shot an arrow at their queen mother, pinning her arm to a pole. I told them that if they didn't let Duchailu go and make peace with the Baka Ban Mana, I would put the next arrow through the Queen Mother's head. They wisely agreed.
She is one of the savages?
She is a Baka Ban Mana, a wise woman. She is not a savage.
And she wed you because you were her hero? Because you rescued her?
No. Sister Verna and I had to go through her land to come here. When we were there, I killed her five husbands. Pasha snatched him by the arm.
They are blade masters. You managed to kill five of them?
Richard started walking again. No, I killed 30 of them. Pasha gasped. Her five husbands were among the 30. Duchailu is their spirit woman and said I was now the leader of her people. She said that since she was the spirit woman and I was their leader, their Kaharan, I was now her husband. Pasha's smile crept back.
Then you aren't really her husband. She was just telling you some of her savage, some of her Baka Ban Mana spirit babble.
Richard didn't say anything. Pasha's smile evaporated. Her scowl returned.
Then how do you know what her breasts and the rest of her look like?
She looked the other way and gave a sniff.
I suppose she rewarded you for your valor.
I know because when they sent me in to kill her, she had a collar around her neck and she was chained to a wall. She was held naked in that collar so that men could rape her whenever they wanted. Pasha swallowed and looked away again. She is with child now by one of those men.
I guess that because the people to be sacrificed are held in a collar, the sisters never gave a thought to putting a stop to it. I don't guess the sisters care much what happens to someone in a collar.
The sisters care, Pasha said in a small voice.
Richard didn't argue. He walked on in silence. Pasha looked cold as she folded her arms beneath her breasts. The sky was turning a deep purple, but it was not getting cold. It was still warm. After a time, Pasha's step regained a bit of its bounce. She glanced over, the smile back.
So, what about you? You have the gift. Did your father have the gift, too? Is that where it was passed down from?
Richard's mood sank like a rock in a well. Yes, my father had the gift. She looked up hopefully.
Is he still living?
No. He was killed a short time ago. Pasha smoothed the front of her skirt.
Oh, I'm sorry, Richard.
Richard's hand tightened on the reins. I'm not. I'm the one who killed him. She froze.
You killed your father? Your own father?
Richard's glare locked on to her. He had me captured and put in a collar to be tortured. I killed the beautiful young woman who held the leash to that collar, and then I killed him. She had no trouble mistaking the threat in his voice, his words, or his eyes. Her lower lip began to quiver, and then Pasha burst into tears, turned and ran. Holding her skirts up in her fists, she went around an outcropping of rock and ran off over the edge of the hill. Richard let out a long sigh as he tied the reins to a slab of granite. He patted Bonnie's neck. Be a good girl. Wait here for me. He found Pasha sitting on a rock with her arms wrapped around her knees as she cried. Richard came around to face her, but she turned her face away. Her shoulders shook as she gasped in racking sobs.
Go away!
She put her forehead against her knees as she wailed.
Or did you come to slice me to bits?
Pasha,
all you care about is killing people.
That's not true. I want nothing more than to end the killing.
Oh, sure,
she cried.
That's why you speak of nothing else.
That's only because
I've been praying for this day nearly my whole life. All I ever wanted was to be a sister of the light. The sisters help people. I wanted to be one of them.
She succumbed to her tears.
I'm never going to be a sister now.
Sure you will.
Not according to you. From what you keep telling us, you intend to kill us all. From the first moment, all you have done is threaten us.
Pasha, you don't understand. Her tear-stained face came up.
Don't I? We had a big banquet to make you feel welcome. Bigger even than the harvest banquet. I had to go without you and tell everyone you were ill. They all stared at me. The other novices get boys who want to learn. My friends have come to me before complaining that their young charge brought them a frog or a bug in his pocket. You bring me a Mrizwith. Sister Marin said we did well today. She hardly ever says that. It's not something she does unless she really means it. You were cruel to Sister Marin. She has been headmistress of the novices ever since I came here. She is strict, but that's because she cares about us. She watches out for us.
Pasha gasped back a sob.
When I was little, the first day I came to the palace, I was scared. I had never been away from home. Sister Marin drew a little picture for me. She told me it was a picture of the Creator. She put it on my pillow and told me he would watch over me in the night, so I would be safe.
Pasha tried to stifle the tears, but couldn't.
I've always kept that picture. I wanted to give it to my boy on his first night so he wouldn't be afraid. I had it with me yesterday. When I saw you, saw that you were grown, I knew I couldn't give it to you. I didn't want to embarrass you. And when I saw you, I thought, well, Pasha, he's not a young boy like all the other novices get, but the Creator has given me the handsomest man I ever saw. I was so glad I had on my prettiest dress, the one I had been saving for that day.
She gasped for air.
And then you tell me I'm ugly.
Richard's eyes slid closed. Pasha, I'm sorry.
No, you're not,
she cried.
You're nothing but a big brute. We had everything prepared for you. We gave you one of the nicest rooms in the palace. You didn't care. We provided you with money for whatever you might need or want, and you act as if we insulted you. We had fine new clothes for you, and you turn your nose up at them.
She wiped her tears, but Moore replaced them.
I'd be the first to admit that there are some sisters who think too much of themselves, but most are so kind they wouldn't even step on a bug. And you hold up a bloody sword in front of them and vow to kill them.
She held up fists full of her skirt and covered her face as she convulsed in sobs. Richard put a hand on her shoulder, but she pushed it away. Richard didn't know what to do with his hands. Pasha, I'm sorry. I know it must seem like...
No, you're not. You're not sorry at all. You want the Radahan off, but that's what my job is, to teach you to use your gift so you can get the collar off. But you won't let me. Without the collar, you would have died. Two sisters have given their lives for you. They will never come home to their friends. Those friends wept in secret and put on a smile to welcome you. In return for trying to help you, trying to save your life, you threaten to kill us all.
Richard put a gentle hand to her head. Pasha,
I'm never going to be a sister. Instead of getting a boy who wants to learn, I get a madman with a sword. I'll forever be the object of laughter at the palace. Young girls will be told to behave themselves, or they'll end up like Pasha Mays and be put out like she was. My dreams have come to ruin.
It hurt him to see her sobbing in such pain and sorrow. Richard took her up in his arms. She fought him at first, trying to push him away, but when he pulled her against him and put her head to his shoulder, she went limp and cried all the harder. Richard held her tight and rubbed her back as she trembled and cried. He rocked her gently in his arms.
I only wanted to help you, Richard, she sobbed. I only wanted to teach you.
He hushed her. I know, I know. It will be all right. She shook her head against his shoulder.
No, it won't.
Yes, it will. You'll see. Finally, her hands came up, clutching his shirt as she cried. Richard didn't try to stop her tears. He simply held her, trying to give her comfort. Do you really think that you could teach me to use the gift? And that then the sisters would take the collar off? She sniffled.
That's my job. That's what I've been training for. I wanted so much to show you the beauty of the creator of his gift. That's all I wanted.
Her arms circled him. She clung to him, as if trying to soak up succor. He stroked her hair.
Richard, when I touched you yesterday, when I touched your Radahan, and felt something of your Han, I felt some of your feelings. I know you hurt inside. It made me hurt just to feel a little of it.
Her hand came up to the side of his neck, as if to comfort him.
I don't know of many things that can cause that much hurt, Richard. I'm not asking to take her place.
Richard's eyes closed as his head sank down on her shoulder. He swallowed back the pain. She ran her fingers through his hair and held his head to her. After a time, he found his voice. Maybe it wouldn't hurt me to occasionally wear one of those outfits. She pushed away a little, looking up through her tears.
Maybe just to the dining room with the sisters?
He shrugged. That would be a good use of them, I guess. You pick one you would like me to wear. I don't know anything about fancy clothes. He managed a small smile. I'm just a woods guide. Her face brightened.
You would look handsome in the red coat.
Richard winced.
The red one? Does it have to be the red one?
She ran her finger down the ajil hanging from his neck.
No, it doesn't have to be that one. I just thought it would look grand on your broad shoulders.
Richard sighed. I will feel foolish in any. It might as well be the red.
You will not look foolish. You will look handsome.
Pasha grinned.
You'll see. All the women will be batting their lashes at you.
She lifted the ajil.
Richard, what is this?
Just sort of a good luck charm. You ready to go back? I think you need to get started teaching me. The sooner you start, the sooner I get this collar off. Then we'll both be happy. You will be a sister, and I will be free. He put his arm around her shoulders, and she put hers around his waist as they walked back for Bonnie. Chapter 53. On the bridge to Halsband Island, in a pool of light under a lamp, a crowd of boys and young men mobbed them. Many were dressed in fine clothes. Some wore robes, and each had a Radahan around his neck. They all excitedly asked questions at the same time, wanting to know if it was true that Richard had killed Amrizwith, and what it looked like. They wanted to tell Richard their names, and clamored for him to draw his sword and show them how he vanquished the legendary monster. Pasha spoke to the most persistent boy at her hip. "Yes, Kip, it's true that Richard killed Amrizwith. Sister Marin is studying it now, and if she deems it appropriate, she will tell you of its nature. But I can tell you true that it is a fearsome-looking beast. Now off with you all. It's nearly dinner time." Despite their disappointment that no more information was forthcoming, they were excited by what they had heard. They ran off in a bunch to tell others. After leaving Bonnie at the stables, Richard walked with Pasha down halls and through vast chambers trying to memorize the layout. She pointed out the boys' dining halls and the dining hall where the sisters and some of the older young men ate. She also took him past the kitchens, where the aromas of cooking wafted through the surrounding corridors. Pasha pointed through a lattice-covered archway to a graceful stone wall running under the spreading branches of trees. The wall was veiled, in places, by vines. Large white flowers dotted the green. "That's the prelate's offices and quarters," Pasha said. "Will she be at dinner tonight?" Pasha giggled softly. "No, of course not. The prelate doesn't have time to have dinner with us." Richard turned out of the hall and down a walkway toward a gate in the wall.
"Richard, what are you doing? Where are you going?"
"I want to meet the prelate."
"You can't simply go visit her."
"Why?"
She hurried along beside him. "Well, she's a busy woman. She can't be bothered. They won't let you see her. The guards won't even let us through the gate."
He shrugged. "It won't hurt to ask, will it? Then afterwards, you can pick an outfit for me, and we'll go to have dinner with the sisters, all right?" The offer to let her pick his outfit gave her pause. Pasha stuttered that she supposed it wouldn't hurt just to ask and struggled to keep up as he marched toward the guard. The guard stepped before the iron gate, spread his feet, and hooked his thumbs on his weapons belt as Richard strode right up to him. Richard put a hand to the man's shoulder. "I'm sorry. Forgive me, please. I didn't get you in any trouble, did I? I hope not. She hasn't come out to yell at you yet, I hope." The man frowned in confusion as Richard leaned closer.
Look, what's your name?"
"Swordsman Endelmere. Kevin Endelmere."
"Look, Kevin, she said she would send the guard at the west gate to get me if I was even 1 minute late. She probably forgot to send you out. It isn't your fault. I promise I won't mention your name. I hope you're not angry with me."
Richard put his back to Pasha and leaned even closer to the guard.
"You'll understand."
He rolled his eyes meaningfully toward Pasha and then gave the man a wink. Kevin glanced to Pasha as she fussed with her tangled mat of hair.
"Eh? You understand, I'm sure. Look, Kevin, say you'll let me buy you an ale. Will you? I'd better get in there before I get you in trouble. But before I go, promise me you'll let me buy you an ale to make it up to you."
"Well, I suppose I could let you buy me an ale."
Richard clapped Kevin on the shoulder.
"There's a good man."
Pasha was right on Richard's heels as he stormed past the guard and through the gate. He turned and gave Kevin a wave and a smile. Pasha leaned close.
"How did you do that? No one gets through the prelate's guards."
Richard held the door into the building open for her. "I just gave him too much to think about, and a worry he feared might be true." When an answer came to her knock, they stepped into a dimly lit room with two desks and two sisters. Pasha curtsied.
"Sisters, I am novice Pasha Mays, and this is our new student, Richard Cipher. He was wondering if he might meet the prelate."
Both sisters glowered at her. The one on the right spoke.
"The prelate is busy. Dismissed, novice."
A little pale, Pasha curtsied again.
"Thank you for your time, sisters."
Richard gave a little bow.
"Yes, thank you, sisters. Please give the prelate my kindest regards."
"I told you she wouldn't see us,"
Pasha said on the way out. Richard hiked his pack up higher on his shoulder. "Well, we gave it our best try. Thanks for indulging me." He had known that Pasha had been right, that the prelate wouldn't see them. But he had seen what he had come to see. He had only been interested in knowing the layout of the building and grounds for future reference. Richard hadn't changed his mind about his captivity, but he decided to try a different approach for a while. He would bide his time and see what they could teach him. Nothing would please him more than to be released from the collar without having to hurt anyone. In the building that housed his room, Gillamy Hall, named after a prophet Richard had learned, a young man came hesitantly out of the shadows on the lower level, before the wide marble stairs. His head of curly blonde hair was cut short at the sides. His hands were stuck into the opposite sleeves of his violet robes. Silver brocade circled the cuffs and neck. He looked smaller than he was because of the way he hunched over. His head bowed to Pasha, while his blue eyes searched for a safe place to settle. "Blessings on you, Pasha," he said softly. "You look lovely tonight. I pray you are well." Pasha squinted in thought. "Warren, isn't it?" His head bobbed, surprised that she knew his name. "I'm fine, Warren. Thank you for asking. This is Richard Cipher." Warren smiled shyly at Richard. "Yes, I saw you before the sisters yesterday." "I suppose you, too, want to know about the Mrizwith," Pasha said with a sigh. "Mrizwith? Richard killed a Mrizwith. Isn't that what you wanted to ask about?" "Really? A Mrizwith?" "No." He turned back to Richard. "I wanted to ask if you would care to come down to the vault sometime and look at the prophecies with me." Richard didn't want to embarrass the young man, but he had no interest in prophecies. "I'm honored by the offer, Warren, but I'm afraid that I'm not much good with riddles." Warren diverted his eyes to the floor. "Of course. I understand. Not many of the others are much interested in the books either. I just thought that maybe... Well, I just thought that since you mentioned that particular prophecy yesterday, that maybe you would want to talk about it. It's a unique piece of work. But I understand. I'm sorry to have bothered you." Richard frowned. "What prophecy?" "The one you mentioned at the end, about you being, well..." Warren swallowed. "The bringer of death. And it's just that I don't think I've ever met anyone from the prophecies before." He blinked in awe. "Since you are in the prophecies, I thought maybe..." His voice trailed off. He looked down at the floor as he started to turn away. "But I understand. I'm sorry to have..." Richard gently caught hold of Warren's arm and turned him back. "Like I said, I'm not very good with riddles. But maybe you could teach me something about them so I wouldn't be so ignorant. I do like to learn." Warren's face brightened. His whole body seemed to swell. When he straightened, he was almost as tall as Richard. "I'd like that. I would really like to talk to you about that prophecy. It's a real conundrum. To this day, the argument over it has never been settled. Maybe with your help." A broad-shouldered man in plain robes and wearing a ratahan slipped up silently, took a fistful of Warren's robe at the shoulder and moved him aside. His eyes were locked on Pasha the whole time. He gave her a smooth smile. "Good evening, Pasha. It will be dinner time soon. I've decided to take you." His eyes glided down the length of her and then back up. "If you can get yourself cleaned up. And do something with your hair. You look a mess. You better get to it." He started to turn away. Pasha put her arm through Richard's. "I'm afraid I have other plans, Jedediah." Jedediah gave Richard a cursory glance. "What? This country boy? The two of you going off to chop wood? Or maybe skin rabbits?" "You're the one," Richard said. "I remember your voice. You're the one who called down from the balcony yesterday asking all by yourself?" Jedediah's condescending smile looked to come easily to him. "An appropriate question, don't you think?" Pasha lifted her chin. "Richard killed a Mrizwith." Jedediah's eyebrows went up in mock wonder. "Well, how brave of the country boy!" "You've never killed a Mrizwith," Warren spoke up. Jedediah slowly turned a withering glare on Warren. Warren shrank away. "What are you doing above ground, mole?" He turned back to Pasha. "And did you see him kill it? I would wager he was alone when he claimed to have killed it. He probably found a Mrizwith that had died of old age, stabbed it with his sword, and then bragged to you to try to impress you.
He redirected a smirk to Richard. Isn't that about the way it happened, country boy?
Richard grinned. You've caught me cold. You have it right. Just as I thought.
He twitched a small smile to Pasha. Come to me later, child, and I'll show you some real magic, a man's magic.
Jedediah strode away imperiously and disappeared around a corner. Pasha put her fists to her hips.
Why did you say that? Why did you let him think that?
I did it for you, Richard said. I thought you wanted me to stop causing trouble and act a gentleman.
She folded her arms in a huff. Well, I do.
Richard turned to Warren, still shrunk back against the marble newel post. If he does anything to you, Warren, I want you to come and tell me. It's me that's the thorn in his pants. If he takes it out on you, you come tell me.
Warren brightened. Really? Thank you, Richard. But I don't think he would bother with me. And I'll be seeing you down in the vaults when you have the time.
He cast a shy smile at Pasha.
Good night, Pasha. So nice to see you again. You look lovely tonight. Good night.
She smiled.
Good night, Warren.
She watched him scurry off down the hall.
What a strange young man. I almost couldn't remember his real name. Everyone calls him the Mole. He almost never comes up from the vaults under the palace.
She glanced sideways to Richard.
Well, you've made a friend tonight who can be of no help to you and an enemy who can harm you. You stay away from Jedediah. He's an experienced wizard, close to being released. Until you learn to defend yourself with your Han, he can hurt you, he can kill you.
I thought we were one big happy family.
There is a pecking order among the wizards. Wizards with the strongest power vie for dominance. It sometimes gets very dangerous. Jedediah is the pride of the palace and does not take well to the idea that another may challenge his supremacy.
I'm hardly a challenge to the power of a wizard.
Pasha lifted an eyebrow. Jedediah never killed Imrizwith, and everyone knows that.
Feeling decidedly uncomfortable in the red coat Pasha had selected, Richard tried to enjoy the lentil porridge they had prepared especially for him. Pasha wore a stunning dark green dress that did more to reveal her figure than cover it. Richard thought it revealed more of her breasts than was prudent. The young men there, as guests of sisters or their novices, did little eating and a lot of watching. None missed a move Pasha made. Many of the young men in collars came by and introduced themselves to Richard, saying they wanted to get to know him better. They promised to show him the city and some of its more interesting sights. Pasha's face reddened at the last. Richard asked if they knew where the guards went for ale, and they promised to take him there whenever he wished. Sisters of every age, shape, and size came to greet him. They all acted as if the events of the night before had never taken place. When Richard asked Pasha why, she said all the sisters understood the difficulty a young man had in making the adjustment of coming to the palace. She said they were accustomed to such outbursts of emotion and didn't take them to heart. Richard kept to himself the thought that this time they should. Some of the sisters smiled and said they hoped they would be given the opportunity to work with him, and a few scowled and promised they would be seeing him and promised not to be tolerant of anything less than his best efforts. Richard smiled and said he would give them nothing less than his best. He wondered to himself what he was committing to. Near the end of the meal, two attractive young women, one in a satiny pink dress, the other in yellow, rushed in, stopping at various tables, speaking in whispers to the other young women. They at last came to the corner where Richard and Pasha sat. One bent close to Pasha.
Have you heard?
Pasha stared with a blank look.
Jedediah fell down a flight of stairs.
Her eyes sparkled with the telling of the gossip. She leaned closer with the titillation of what she had to tell next.
Broke his leg.
Pasha gasped.
No. When? We just saw him a while ago.
The woman giggled and nodded.
Yes, it's true. It just happened. Not but a few minutes ago. The healers are with him now. No need for concern. He'll be back to good by morning. How did it happen?
The woman shrugged.
Just clumsy. Tripped on the carpet and tumbled down.
She lowered her voice.
He was so furious he flamed the carpet to ash. Wizard's fire? Pasha whispered incredulously. In the palace? Such a high crime. No, no, not wizard's fire. Of course not, silly girl. Even Jedediah is not that brazen. Just simple fire. But it was one of the oldest carpets in the palace. The sisters are not pleased at his display of temper. They ordered the bone and the pane not to be mended until morning as punishment. Their gossip finally expended, the two young women's eyes and smiles settled on Richard. Pasha introduced them as two friends of hers, Celia and Dulce, two novices with charges of their own. Richard was polite, complimenting them on their pretty dresses and the way their hair was curled. Their smiles widened. Taking his arm when they finally left, Pasha thanked him. For what? I've never been permitted to eat with the sisters or with the novices who have a young man to train. This is the first time I've ever been to dinner, just like I was a sister. You were pleasant and considerate of everyone. I was so proud to have you with me. And you looked very handsome in those clothes.
In that dress, I would imagine you could easily get someone better bred than me as a dinner companion.
Richard pulled open the fancy shirt collar. I've never worn a shirt this ruffled, or white, nor a coat this red. I think I look foolish.
A self-satisfied smile spread on Pasha's face. I can promise you that Celia and Dulce do not think you look foolish. I'm surprised you couldn't see them glowing green. I thought maybe they might decide to sit right down on your lap.
Richard thought that if Celia and Dulce liked the red coat so much, they could have it. But he kept the thought to himself. Why doesn't an important wizard like Jedediah wear fancy clothes?
Only beginning wizards wear clothes like this and are permitted to go into the city. At certain milestones in a wizard's advancement, they change to a particular form of dress. The further a wizard progresses, the more modest his dress. That's why Jedediah wears simple tan robes, because he has nearly reached the end of his training.
What's the purpose of such an odd rule?
To teach humility. Those with the nicest clothes, the most freedom, and unlimited money are those with the least power. No one respects them for these things. It's meant to teach the young man that mastery comes from within, not from external trappings.
Then wearing these things is a demotion for me. I was already wearing humble clothes.
You are not yet entitled to wear humble robes. You may wear your own clothes occasionally if you wish. If they were simple robes, though, it would not be allowed. The people in the city know a wizard's abilities and power by his dress. No wizard who wears simple robes is permitted to go into the city.
She smiled. Someday, when you have advanced enough, you will be permitted to wear the robes of a wizard. I don't like robes. I like the clothes I was wearing.
When you have your collar off and leave the palace, you may wear what you wish. Of course, most come to respect the robes of their profession and wear them the rest of their lives.
Richard changed the subject. I want to go see Warren. Tell me how to get down there.
Now? Tonight? Richard, it's been a long day, and I must give you your first lesson yet tonight.
Just tell me how to get down there. Will Warren be down there this late?
I don't know that he is ever seen anywhere else. I think he must sleep on the books. I was surprised to see him in the palace today. That in itself will be gossip for weeks.
I don't want him to think I forgot him. Just tell me how to get down there.
Well, she sighed, if you insist on going, we will go together. I'm supposed to escort you wherever you go in the Palace of the Prophets. For now, anyway.
Chapter 54. In the core of the Palace of the Prophets, they began their descent down into the vaults. The stairways on the upper levels were elegant. Lower down, the stairs became utilitarian stone, with their leading edges worn round and smooth. The maidservants he had seen on the upper levels were nowhere to be seen. Paneled walls gave way to stone. In some places, he had to duck under huge beams. Lamps were no longer stationed on the walls, but instead widely spaced torches lit the way. Sounds of palace life were left behind, to be replaced by dead silence. Some of the hallways were wet with leaking water.
"What's in these vaults?" Richard asked.
"The books of prophecy. Books of history and records of the palace are also kept there."
"Why are they way down here?"
"For protection. Prophecies are dangerous to the untrained mind. All novices study books of prophecy, but only certain sisters are permitted to read them all.
and work with them. Young wizards who show that their gift gives them an aptitude for prophecy are taught by these sisters. There are a few young men who work and study in the vaults, but Warren is to the vaults what Jedediah is to other forms of magic. Every wizard has a specialty. We will work with you to discover what your innate ability is. Until we can learn this, it will be hard to take your training very far.
Sister Verna told me something about that.
So what do you think my talent is?
Usually we can tell by the personality of the boy. Some like to work with their hands and end up making things of magic. Some like to help the sick or injured and become healers, things like that. We can usually tell.
So what about me?
She glanced briefly in his direction.
None of us has ever seen anyone like you before. We have no idea yet.
Pasha's face brightened.
But we will.
A huge round stone door, as thick as Richard was tall, stood open in the gloom. Beyond it were rooms carved from the bedrock that the palace sat atop. Lamps did little to brighten the place. There were a number of long, time-worn tables with books and papers scattered about on them, and shelves in rows that extended into the distance to each side. Two women sat at the tables, taking notes as they read by the light of candles set close. One of them peered up and addressed Pasha.
"What are you doing down here, child?"
Pasha curtsied.
"We came to see Warren, sister."
"Warren? Why?"
Just then, Warren came scurrying out of the darkness.
"It's all right, Sister Becky. I asked them to come."
"Well, the next time, please let someone know in advance."
"Yes, sister, I will."
Warren burrowed between the two of them and took their arms, leading them into the shelves. When he realized he was touching Pasha, he jerked his hand away and turned red.
"You look dazzling, Pasha."
"Why, thank you, Mole."
She flushed red herself. She put a hand to his shoulder.
"I'm sorry, Warren. I didn't mean anything by that. I meant to call you Warren."
He smiled.
"It's all right, Pasha. I know people call me the Mole. They think it a pejorative, but I take it as a compliment. You see, a mole can find its way in the dark, where others are blind. That is much like what I do. I find the way where others see nothing."
Pasha sighed in relief. "I'm glad, Warren. Mole, did you hear that Jedediah fell down a flight of stairs and broke his leg?"
"Really?"
He searched her eyes. "Maybe the Creator was trying to teach him that when you hold your nose so high in the air, you can't see where you are going."
"I don't think Jedediah paid any heed to the Creator's lessons," Pasha said. "I heard tell that he was so angry he burned a prized carpet to ash."
Warren still held her eyes.
"You are the one who should be angry, not Jedediah. He said cruel things to you."
"No one should say cruel things to you."
"He is usually kind to me, but I admit I did look a mess."
"Some of these books look a mess to people, but it's what's inside that matters, not the dust on their covers."
Pasha blushed.
"Why, thank you, Mole, I think."
Warren looked to Richard.
"I didn't know if you would really come. Most people say they will, but they never do. I'm so pleased you did. Come this way, Pasha. I'm afraid you must wait here."
"What?"
She leaned forward, and Richard thought that maybe her breasts might spill out if she didn't straighten up.
"I'm going too."
Warren's eyes widened.
"But I must take him into one of the back rooms. You are a novice. Novices are not allowed."
She smiled warmly as she did straighten up.
"Mole, if a novice is not allowed, how could a new student be allowed?"
Warren's eyes narrowed.
"He is in the prophecies. If the prophet saw fit to write about him, they could hardly intend he not see it."
Warren seemed considerably more confident down here in his element than he had been up in the palace. He stood his ground with confidence. Pasha rubbed his shoulder. He glanced down at the hand.
"Warren, you're the mole. You show others the way. I'm the one in charge of Richard. I show him the way. I would be neglecting my duty if I allowed him to go somewhere without me this soon. I'm sure you can make an exception for me, can't you, Warren? It's to help Richard, to help understand the prophecy and how he is to serve the Creator. Isn't that what's important?"
Warren finally took his eyes from her and told them to wait. He went off to the two sisters and spoke with them in hushed tones. He finally came back, wearing a smile.
Sister Becky said it would be permitted. I told her you understand a bit of Haidaharan. In case she asks, say you do.
What's Haidaharan, Warren? Do you want me to lie to a sister?
I'm sure she will not ask. Warren turned his face away. I told the lie for you, Pasha, so you would not have to.
She leaned closer to him. Warren, if you're caught telling lies about such things, you know what they will do.
He gave her a small, haunted smile.
I know.
What will they do? Richard asked, suddenly suspicious. Warren waved impatiently.
Never mind. You two come along.
They had to hurry after him as he scurried off into the darkness. They went past rows of shelves placed tight together, coming at last to a solid wall of rock. Warren put his hand to a metal plate, and part of the wall moved away, revealing another chamber beyond. Inside the small room sat a table and maybe a dozen rows of shelves. Four lamps made it seem bright inside by comparison. Inside, Warren touched another plate, and the section of wall slid closed, entombing them in stone and silence. He pulled out a chair for Pasha and had Richard sit to her right. Finally, he pulled a leather-bound book from the shelves and carefully placed it before Richard.
"Please don't touch it," Warren said. "It's very old and fragile. Of late, it has been getting more use than usual. Let me turn the pages."
"Who's been using it?" Richard asked.
"The prelate."
A smile twitched across Warren's lips. "Whenever she used to come down here, her two big guards come first and make everyone leave. They clear the vaults so the prelate can have the place to herself and people won't know what she reads."
"Her big guards?" Pasha asked. "You mean the two sisters in her outer office?"
"Yes," Warren said. "Sister Eulicia and Sister Fenella."
"We saw them today," Richard said. "They didn't look that big to me."
Warren lowered his voice meaningfully.
"If you ever cross them, you will think otherwise. They will seem very big indeed."
Richard took pause at Warren's expression.
"If the place is cleared out, how do you know she has been reading this book?"
"I know."
He turned to the book on the table.
"I know. She has been doing most of her reading in this room of late. I live with these books. When someone touches them, I can tell. You see this smudge in the dust? It's not mine. It's the prelate's."
Warren carefully lifted open the cover, and with both hands giving support, turned the yellow pages. Richard didn't recognize any of the words, or some of the letters, for that matter. On one of the pages that Warren flipped, Richard thought he recognized something, a drawing. It sparked a deep memory. Warren flipped over more pages, finally stopping. He leaned over Richard's shoulder, pointing.
"This is the prophecy you spoke of."
Warren moved around to the right side of the table.
"This is the original in the prophet's own hand. Few have ever seen it. Do you understand Haidaharan?"
"No. It just looks like scribbling to me."
Richard glanced over the meaningless writing. "You said there was argument over its meaning."
Warren's eyes had an intense gleam. "There is. You see, this is a very old prophecy, perhaps as old as the palace, maybe older. This is the original prophecy. It's in Haidaharan, as is everything in this room. Very few people understand Haidaharan."
Richard nodded. "So people have only read the translations, and there is reason to believe that those translations may not be accurate?"
"You understand," Warren whispered.
His movements became more lively.
"Yes, yes, you see the problem. Most don't. Most think one thing in one language must mean a certain thing in another. In order to complete the translation, they settle on an interpretation that fits their view of the meaning, but in so doing they create a conspectus that may or may not be the meaning of the prophecy."
"But that doesn't take into account possible different meanings," Richard said. "So when they translate it, they give it only one version. They can't translate its ambiguity."
Warren thrust himself forward in excitement. "Yes, you have it. That's what they can't understand. And so they argue over the various translations as if there is a right way and a wrong way to do it. But this is Haidaharan."
Warren's words trailed off. Richard was staring at the page. The images there were drawing him in. It was almost as if they were murmuring to him.
He had never seen such words before, but somehow they resonated with something deep within him. His hand slowly reached out, drawn to one of the words. His finger came to rest on it.
"This one,"
Richard whispered, as if from a trance. The strokes of the letters seemed to lift from the page as if alive and coil around his finger, the dark lines caressing, fondling, with intimate familiarity. Before his eyes, too, floated the image of the Sword of Truth. Warren's white face came up from the book.
"Draka,"
he whispered.
"That's the word that is in the center of the controversy. Fuhr Grissa Ost Draka. The bringer of death."
Pasha leaned over. "So what's the controversy? You mean those words can be translated differently?" Warren made a vague gesture with his hand.
"Well, yes and no. That's the literal translation of the words. It's their meaning that is in dispute."
Richard pulled his hand back. He banished the image of the sword.
"Death.
It has different meanings." Warren practically laid on the table as he leaned over.
"Yes, you understand."
"Death is plain as pie," Pasha said. Warren straightened and rubbed his hands together.
"No, Pasha, not in High Dharan. The weapon the sisters carry, the Dakra, its name comes from this word. Draka means death, as in dead. Like if I were to say, the Mrizwith Richard killed is dead. Draka, dead. But it has other meanings, too. Draka is also the word that represents the souls of the dead."
Pasha leaned forward with a frown.
"Are you saying that Draka, in that sense, can make it mean the bringer of souls?"
"No," Richard said. He whispered the second meaning of the word.
"Spirits, the bringer of spirits."
"Yes," Warren said in a quiet voice.
"That is the second interpretation."
"How many of these different meanings to Draka are there?" Pasha asked.
"Three," Richard thought.
"Three," Warren said. Richard knew the third.
"The underworld,"
he whispered, as he stared at the word Draka on the page. "The place of the dead. That's the third meaning of Draka." Pale as a spirit, Warren leaned toward him. "But you don't understand Dharan?" Richard slowly shook his head, his eyes fixed on the page. Warren's tongue darted out to wet his lips.
"Please tell me you don't have Dharan blood."
"My father was dark and raw," Richard said softly. "He was the wizard who ruled Dahara, and before him my grandfather Panis."
"Dear Creator,"
Warren whispered. Pasha put a hand to Richard's arm as she leaned toward them both.
"Underworld? How could it mean underworld?"
"Because," Warren said, "the underworld is the world of the dead." Her brow knit together.
"But how could it mean the bringer of the underworld? How can you bring the underworld?"
Richard stared blankly ahead. "You tear the veil." The silence echoed around the stone room. Pasha looked from one face to the other. She finally broke the silence.
"But I was taught that for a foreign word in a prophecy that had different shades of meaning, you had only to interpret it in context. It should be a simple matter of seeing how it is used to decipher its meaning."
Warren lifted an eyebrow.
"That's what the argument is about. You see, in this prophecy, it speaks of things that could pertain to each of the three possible meanings of the word Draka. Depending on which meaning was intended, it changes the meaning of the prophecy. That is why it cannot be interpreted with surety. It's like a dog chasing his tail. The more you try, the more you just end up going round and round. This is why I'm so anxious to know the intended meaning of the word Draka. If I could know that, then I might be able to decipher the rest of the prophecy accurately for the first time. I would be the first in 3,000 years to understand it."
Richard pushed his chair away from the table. "Well, as I said, I'm not very good with riddles." He forced himself to smile. "But I promise to think on it." Warren brightened.
"Would you? I would be so appreciative if you would be able to help me."
Richard squeezed Warren's shoulder.
You have my word.
Pasha rose. Well, I guess we better get to Richard's lesson. It's getting late.
Thank you both for coming. I rarely have visitors.
Pasha leading, the three of them went toward the door. As she passed through the doorway, Richard slapped his hand to the metal plate on the wall. The door grated closed. Pasha beat her fists to the stone, as the slit had become too small for her to come back through. She shouted for them to open the door. As the stone sealed closed, her words were cut off, leaving Richard and Warren in silence. Warren stared at the metal plate.
How did you do that? You were just a beginning wizard. You should not be able to affect a shield with your Han for a very long time yet.
Richard didn't have an answer for the question, and so he ignored it. Tell me what you meant about knowing what the sisters would do to you if they caught you telling that kind of lie. Warren's hand went to his collar.
Well, they would hurt me. You mean they would use the collar's magic to give you pain?
Warren nodded as he took a knot of his robes in his fists.
Do they do that often? Give us pain with the collar?
Warren twisted the knot of robe.
No, not often. But to be a wizard, you must pass a test of pain. They come from time to time and give you pain with the Rata Han to see if you have learned enough to pass the test of pain.
And how do you pass the test?
Well, I can only imagine that when you can endure the pain without begging them to stop, you pass. They never tell me what must be done to pass.
His face had gone ashen.
I've never been able to keep from begging them to stop. Once you learn to endure what they give you more.
I thought it might be something like that. Thanks for telling me.
Richard stroked his beard.
Warren, I need your help. Warren lifted the sleeve of his robes and wiped it at his wet eyes.
What help can I give?
You said there are prophecies about me. I want you to study everything about me you can find, and about the Towers of Perdition, the Valley of the Lost. I also need to know everything I can about the Veil.
Richard pointed at the book on the table. There was a drawing a few pages before you stopped on the prophecy. It was a teardrop shape. Do you know what it is?
Warren went to the book and turned the pages back.
This?
Yes, that's it.
He remembered seeing it around Rachel's neck in his vision of her and Chase in the Valley of the Lost. An image of Zed came into Richard's mind. His heart thumped faster.
That looks like the thing I saw. What is it?
Warren gave him a puzzled look.
The Stone of Tears.
What do you mean you saw it?
What is the Stone of Tears?
Well, I'm not sure. I'd have to study about it, but I think it might have something to do with the Veil. If Draka could be interpreted to have something to do with the underworld.
What do you mean you saw it?
Richard ignored the question for a second time. Warren, I also need to know about the Stone of Tears and everything you can find about the people who used to live in the Valley of the Lost. The Bakaban Mana. Their name means those without masters. And about one they call the Kaharan.
Warren stared dumbly at him.
This is a lot of work.
Will you help me, Warren?
Warren looked down, picking at his robes.
On a condition. I never get out of this place. Not that I don't like working with the prophecies, you understand, but people think that I have no interest in anything else. I'd like to see the country around the palace, the woods, the hills.
He twisted his fingers together.
I'm afraid of big places. The sky is so big. That's the other reason I stay down here, because it feels safe to me. But I'm sick of living like a mole. I would like to try going outside and seeing it. Would you, well, show me the countryside? You look to me like someone familiar with the out-of-doors. I think I would feel safe if you went with me.
Richard smiled warmly. You've come to the right person. Warren, I was a woods guide before all this started. I don't know all the country around the palace yet, but I surely intend to. I'd really enjoy guiding you around. It would be just like old times.
Warren's expression brightened.
Thank you, Richard. I look forward to seeing open places. I need some adventure in my life. I'll start right away on the things you want. But the sisters give me work, so I must search when I can find the time. And I'm afraid that I must be honest. It will take a long time. There are thousands of volumes here. It will take months just to get a good start.
Warren, this may be the most important thing you ever studied.
You may be able to save time if you start by reading everything the prelate has been reading. A sly smile came to Warren's lips.
I thought you said you weren't good with riddles.
That is what I was thinking. His smile turned to a concerned frown.
Why do you want to know all these things?
Richard studied the other's blue eyes for a long moment. I am Führer Grissa Ostdraka, Warren. I know what that means. Warren clutched his fingers to the sleeve of Richard's red coat.
You know? You know which is the correct translation?
His fingers trembled.
Would you tell me?
If you promise not to tell anyone else for now. Warren nodded eagerly. No one has been able to figure out which of the three is the true translation because in trying to justify one, they invalidate the whole. Warren frowned. Richard leaned toward him. They are all true, Warren.
What?
He whispered.
How can that be?
I have killed people with this sword. I am the bringer of death in that sense. That is the first meaning of Draka. In order to prevail against otherwise impossible odds, such as defeating the Mriswith, I use the sword's magic to bring forth the spirits of those who have used it before me. I have called the dead forth, called the past into the present. In that way, I am the bringer of spirits. That is the second meaning of Draka. As for the third meaning, bringing forth the underworld, I have reason to believe that I may have somehow torn the veil. That is the third meaning of Draka. Warren gasped. It is very important that you find out the information I asked you about. I don't think I have a lot of time. Warren nodded.
I'll try. But I think you put too much faith in me.
Richard lifted an eyebrow. I have faith in a man able to break Jedediah's leg.
I did nothing to Jedediah. Jedediah is a powerful wizard. I would never dare to oppose one of his power.
Oh, come on, Warren. There are ashes of the burned carpet on the shoulder of your robe. Warren brushed frantically at his shoulder.
There is no ash there. I see no ash.
Richard waited for Warren's eyes to come up. Then why are you brushing at your robes?
Well, I just...
Richard put a reassuring hand on Warren's back. It's all right, Warren. I'm a believer in justice. I think Jedediah got what he deserved. I won't tell anyone. And you must not tell anyone about any of this.
I must warn you, Richard. You did a very dangerous thing yesterday when you told all the sisters that you were the bringer of death. That is a well-known and hotly debated prophecy. There are sisters who believe it means you are the one who kills. They will try to comfort you. There are others who think it means you will bring forth the dead, call the spirits. They will want to study you.
He leaned a little closer.
There are others who think it means you will tear the veil and bring the Nameless One to swallow us all. They might try to kill you.
I know, Warren.
Then why would you let them know you are the one in the prophecy?
Because I am Führer Grissa Ostdraka. When the time comes, I will kill any of them I must in order to get this collar off. I had to give them fair warning first, give them the chance to live.
Warren touched his fingers to his lower lip. But you wouldn't hurt Pasha, not Pasha.
I hope to hurt no one, Warren. Maybe with the information you help me with, I won't have to hurt anyone. I hate being Führer Grissa Ostdraka. But that is who I am.
Warren's eyes teared. Please, you wouldn't hurt Pasha.
Warren, I like her. I think she is a lovely person, inside, like you said. I only kill to protect my life or the lives of innocent people. I don't believe Pasha would ever give me cause, but you must understand that if I am right, and the veil is torn, then more is at stake than any one person's life, mine, yours, or Pasha's.
Warren nodded. I have read the prophecies. I understand. I will search for the things you need.
Richard tried to reassure him with a warm smile. It will be all right, Warren. I'm the Seeker. I'll do my best. I don't want to harm anyone.
Seeker? What is the Seeker?
Richard slapped his hand to the metal plate. I'll tell you about it later. Warren glanced down at the plate as the door slid open.
How are you able to do that?
Pasha was standing calmly waiting, her face making a good effort at not showing her anger.
And just what was all that about?
Richard stepped through the doorway.
Boy talk.
Pasha stopped him with a hand to his arm.
What do you mean, boy talk?
Richard looked into her warm brown eyes. I was twisting Warren's arm, making him tell me about the test of pain. You failed to mention it, so I had to ask him about it. Or were you planning on waiting until you came to do it, before you told me? Pasha rubbed her bare arms as if to warm them.
I do not do that, Richard. I'm only a novice. Full sisters must do it.
Why didn't you tell me about it? Tears welled up in her eyes.
I don't like to see people hurt. I didn't want to frighten you about what may not come for a long time. Sometimes the waiting can be worse than the actual experience. I didn't want you to have to wait in fear.
Oh. Richard let out a long breath. Well, I guess that's a good reason. I apologize, Pasha, for what I was thinking of you. She forced a smile.
Shall we go start your lessons?
Above ground again, they passed down halls and through several buildings until they finally reached Gillamy Hall, where his room was. The fabric of Pasha's dress made a swishing sound as they climbed the wide marble stairway. The walls and columns were a matching tan, variegated marble. It was a beautiful place with elegant rooms, but it was not as impressive as the People's Palace in Dahara. Before he had seen that magnificent edifice, he would have been astonished by the opulence of this place. Now he simply noted its layout in reference to everything else. Upstairs, as they went down another wide carpeted hall, he saw several other young men wearing Radahan. At last, they reached his room. Richard caught her wrist as she reached for the door handle. She looked up in puzzlement. "There's someone inside," he said. Chapter 55.
It is my job to watch over you, Pasha said.
She used her han, breaking his hold on her wrist and throwing him aside as if with an invisible hand, and then charged through the door. Richard rolled, finishing on his feet, drew his sword, and flew in after her. Only the small flames from the hearth gave light to the otherwise dark room. They both stumbled to a halt in the near darkness. A voice came from a chair beside the fire.
Expecting Mrizwith, Richard?
Sister Verna!
Richard slid his sword back into its scabbard.
What are you doing here?
She rose to her feet and swept her hand in the direction of a lamp, bringing the wick to flame.
I didn't know if you heard.
Her face was unreadable. I'm once again a Sister of the Light.
Really?
Richard said.
That's great news.
Sister Verna clasped her hands in a relaxed manner.
Since I'm a sister, again, I wanted to come and speak privately to you for a moment.
She glanced to Pasha. About some unfinished business Richard and I have. Pasha looked from the sister to Richard.
Well, I guess this dress is, well, not the most comfortable thing to give lessons in. Why don't I go change?
She curtsied to Sister Verna.
Good night, sister. I'm so happy for you. You should be a sister. And Richard, thank you for being such a gentleman tonight. I will return after I change.
Richard stood facing the door once he had closed it behind Pasha.
Gentlemen,
Sister Verna said,
I'm delighted to hear it, Richard. I would also like to thank you for my being returned to Sister. Sister Marin told me what happened.
Richard laughed as he turned to her. You've been around me too long, Sister. But you need more practice at telling lies. You're not yet totally convincing. She couldn't keep a small smile from coming to her lips.
Well, Sister Marin told me that she had prayed for guidance and decided I would serve the Creator best if I were a sister, in view of my experience.
She lifted an eyebrow.
Poor Sister Marin. Lying seems to have become infectious since you arrived here.
He shrugged. Sister Marin did what was right. I think your Creator would be pleased with the outcome.
I heard that you killed Mrizwith. News spreads through the palace like a blaze through dry grass.
Richard walked to the hearth. He leaned on the dark granite mantel and stared into the flames. Well, I had no choice. Sister Verna stroked a hand tenderly down his hair.
Are you all right, Richard? How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Richard pulled the baldric over his head and set it and the sword aside. He tossed the red coat on a chair.
I'd be better if I didn't have to wear these silly clothes, but I guess it's a small price to pay for peace. For now.
What did you want to talk to me about, sister?
I don't know what you did, how you got me returned to sister, but thank you, Richard. Does this mean you would like for us to be friends?
Only if you will take this collar off me.
She looked away from his eyes.
Someday, sister, you will have to make your choice. I hope when the time comes you choose to be on my side. After all we've been through, I would hate to have to kill you. But you know what I am capable of. You knew what my answer would be. Surely you came here for more than that.
I have told you before how you were using your Han without knowing what you were doing, remember?
Yes, but I don't think I'm using my Han.
She lifted an eyebrow. Richard, you killed Umrizwith. As far as I know, that has not been done in the last 3,000 years. You had to use your Han to do that.
No, sister, I used the magic of the sword to kill it.
Richard, I have observed you and learned a little about both you and your sword. The reason no one has ever been able to kill Umrizwith is because they never knew it was coming. Even the Han of sisters and wizards could not sense its approach. Your sword may have killed Umrizwith, but your Han let you know it was coming. You are calling on your gift, but without control.
Richard was tired. He didn't feel like arguing, so he didn't. He flopped into a plush chair. He remembered the way he had seen the Umrizwith in his mind, had seen it coming.
I don't understand what I'm doing, sister. The Umrizwith came, and I protected myself.
She sat in a chair opposite. Look at it this way, Richard. You killed a beast as deadly as anything walking the land, yet that little girl with the big brown eyes, and about as much power compared to you as a sparrow compared to a hawk, just used her Han to throw you down the hall. I hope you will study hard so you may learn to control your Han. You need to get it under control.
She looked at him intently. Why did you go into the Hagen Woods after I told you that they are dangerous? The real reason, not the justification, but the deep down inside reason. Please tell me the truth, Richard.
Richard stretched back, looking up the ceiling. He finally conceded with a nod.
It was like something drew me in. It was a need, a hunger. It was like I needed to pound my fist against a wall, and that was the way to do it.
He thought she might launch into a lecture, but she didn't. Her tone was sympathetic.
Richard, I've been talking to a few friends of mine. None of us knows everything about the magic of the palace, and especially the Hagen Woods, but there is reason to believe that the Hagen Woods were placed there specifically for